table. Its pages are worn and hard to read, but that family Bible on the table will always be my key to memory.
I can see us sitting around the table.
That's right. It's today's health update. I am Roy Williams, the guru of good health, the superintendent of supplementation, and welcome to Monday School. That's right. I used to teach Sunday school, but I started teaching Monday school on Mondays on these radio stations. Why? Because I think everybody needs to understand the Word of God. And I talked to so many people over the years in my life that tells me, you know, I've read the Bible, but I don't understand all the these and the thous. And then I get a, you know, one of them newer versions of it, and I enjoy it a little more, but I still don't understand it. Well, let me explain something to all of you listening right quick. Part of the reason you don't understand the Bible as well as you should is probably because of the fact that you don't understand that it was translated into English in 1611. Now, if you ever look at one of those Bibles that was written in 1611, you wouldn't understand one-tenth of it. Even though it's English, it's that old world English that, I mean, we could barely understand it. But then it got translated again in the 1800s into a more modern English, but even that, they got a lot of the words translated from Hebrew and Greek into English wrong. And I explain those to you. One of the best places to start is, and I encourage all of you listening, if you're new to this show, and boy, are we ever picking up new people all the time listening to today's health update. And for that, I am so grateful. I thank God for all our listeners. And I thank God that y'all are open-minded, that you got eyes to see and ears to hear, because, you know, Jesus spoke that was necessary to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And if you're listening to this radio show and you fall in love with what I teach, the Bible, then you've got eyes to see and ears to hear. You got that desire. The Spirit of God is moving upon you, and that should be encouraging to you. Even if you're an unbeliever, if you find what I teach interesting and you want to know more, then you're in good shape, because that means the Spirit of God is trying to move in your life. But you're never going to fully understand the whole Bible unless you understand the first, second, and third earth ages. And they're taught in the Bible. It's just hard to read. You know, that's why Jesus said, study to show yourself approved. And he talks about the mysteries, like the mystery of the fig tree. You got to understand Genesis chapter 1 all the way through chapter 6. Then a lot of the Bible, even the Old Testament, will come alive for you, because you'll then go like I did, oh, wow, now that makes sense. Like why God hated Esau before he was even born. Why God chose Jeremiah, he said, to be a prophet even before he was in his mother's womb. That's before he was even thought of by anybody but God. So I've been teaching a lot of things for a while now. I've gone through the whole book of Genesis, the whole book of Revelation, the whole book of 1st and 2nd Peter. And the reason I did 1st and 2nd Peter was because the three earth ages are explained in 2nd Peter chapter 3 as well as you could expect it to be. But even then you won't understand that until you understand the first earth age. The first earth age was Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and God created the heavens and the earth. Don't say how long it took, how long it had lasted. Don't say that. It is an earth age. Same old earth. If you're talking about first, second, third earth ages, same old earth, just different span dispensations of time, we'll call it. But in verse 2, he says, and the earth was without form and void. Now, there's one of the first places you'll find a misinterpretation in the Bible. The word was, if you look it up in Hebrew, you'll find out it means became. So in verse 2, he's explaining that the first earth age became without form and void. Why is that? Because God flooded the earth. He took all of his creations, all the people he created, which they were not flesh, they were spiritual. He took them from earth, which was their habitation. He moved them back into heaven. Rather than destroy a third of them that followed Satan, he brought them all back into heaven. He said, now you're going to be required to be born of woman, born of water. You're going to be on the earth, and you're going to be tested to see which direction you're going to go. You're going to choose to follow Satan, or you're going to choose to follow God. And boy, it starts right off in Genesis where the choices had to be made. And they were. But then you find about the first flood, which was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. It said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Now, that's the first flood. That was total, complete flood of the entire earth. No mountains even peeked through. Because later in Genesis, he has to separate the land from the water. So then you get into Noah, and that's the second flood. And that's when the Nephilim were here trying to destroy the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Another day. All right, but right now, I told you last week we're going to start teaching the book of Proverbs. I'm going to teach that. Why? Because if there's ever been a time in my life and yours when we need to have wisdom, it's now. And Solomon, as I explained last week, he did most of the books of Proverbs and most of the writings, not all of them, but he did it through wisdom. God made him wiser than any man had ever lived before him, and he even says wiser than any man will be after him. So that's an important thing. So if you want to know more, if you want to be wise, if you want to be more successful, if you want to have a happier life, if you want to understand human beings, then Proverbs is important. So I'm going to go into it. We're starting with Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, and it explains to you what they are right off the bat. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, David was very loved amongst all the kings that lived back in those days. He was very wise, but his son, Solomon, was even wiser than David, and proved to be a better leader in some ways, but not as good in others. You see, David, the reason God said as much sin as David committed, I mean, he committed murder. It wasn't nothing he didn't do in his young life. And as he got older, he got better. But you know what he never did that almost every other, as a matter of fact, I think all the other kings in the Bible did, was he never worshiped any god but the only true and living God. So that's why he was a man after God's own heart. And God gave him Solomon, the son, to be the next king. And he made him king. And then Solomon got wiser and wiser because God chose to make him wiser and wiser. And by doing that, guess what? We get the words of Proverbs. So basically, in modern English, that first verse says, "The wise, easy to remember sayings of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Verse 2, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding." In other words, to understand spiritual things. That's really what that means in Hebrew. And to know what discipline is. Now, I like to cover discipline because for most people, discipline, think of it as punishment. We're not talking about punishment here. We're talking about, discipline yourselves to make the right decisions. No matter how emotional you may be about something, you think about it, you meditate on it, and you decide if it's true or not. And if it's not true, you don't react to it in a negative way. You learn from it, and then you search for wisdom. You search for the truth. So to be disciplined means you want to know the truth. Okay, so basically, Proverbs is to understand spiritual things with discipline and to consider what the words of God. That's what you've got to understand. You see, remember, Jesus said, "Study to show yourself approved." In other words, understand the word of God. Proverbs 1:3 says, "To receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity." A lot of these words, like I say, were translated in the 1800s when people had a different understanding of words like justice, judgment, and equity. So in modern English, it would be to gain possession of wisdom, to own it, to make it yours. Justice means righteousness. What is righteousness? It's to do what's right, even when nobody's looking. Okay, that's what it is. Is you want to do what's right? How do you know what's right? What does God say is right, and what does God say is wrong? So to gain possession of wisdom, to own it, righteousness, legal matters, that's what judgment is legal matters, and moral uprightness. That's what equity is. So maybe that helps you understand this better, to gain possession of wisdom, righteousness, legal matters, and moral uprightness. Verse 4, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. What is, for instance, give subtly to the simple? That means to give prudence to the naive. In Hebrew, that's what simple means, is naive. People that are confused, they're just too young to know the difference. To the young people is what the last part of it means, to the young men, to the young people. Remember, when you're reading the word man in the Bible, it's not a gender thing in most cases. Now, it is occasionally when it's talking about a specific man, but like in this sentence, it's not, no gender involved. So you could to give to young people understanding, that's what knowledge is, and purpose. That's what discretion is. It means purpose. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You see, Solomon knew how to write. He knew what the meanings of words were. Let me explain something to you. You need to know diction. You know what a dictionary is? It's a definition of words. You need to understand the words you speak and what they mean. So I'm going to help you with that. I'm doing a book right now that's called Start with Wisdom. And what it is, it's Proverbs, where I break it down from the King James Version into modern English so more people can understand it. For instance, verse 5 in modern English would say, a person with wisdom will listen. Remember, a parent said, we'll hear. It means we'll listen. You don't just hear, but you listen. You pay attention. And will gain more knowledge. In other words, they try to learn even more. And those who accept instruction will seek wise guidance. Do you seek wise guidance? Well, where do you get wise guidance? Well, there's some people that can give you some wise guidance, but you know the best place is, without any doubt, the Word of God. That is the wisest guidance you can ever have. So it will pay you throughout your life to study and read the Word of God. So Verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. What does it mean, those dark sayings? It just means a hidden message. So in modern English, to discern a proverb and its meanings, the affairs of the wise and their hidden message. It's kind of hidden from most people because they don't know diction a lot of times. That's why I give you the modern English. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, you know, you're taught your whole life that God's good, he's full of love and kindness, and he's all those things that mean special things to you. Well, why would they use the word fear here? Well, when in reality, that's not the right interpretation. If you look it up in the Hebrew, it would read this way, to have reverence for the Lord. Instead of fear of the Lord, it means reverence or love or respect. To have reverence for the Lord is where true knowledge begins. When you love God, knowledge begins. But a fool will despise wisdom and what? Discipline. There it is again. They won't want to hone their skills. They won't want to make the right decisions. If it feels good to them, they want to do it that way. That's not a good way to live, folks. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Okay? The instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. What he's telling you here is, children, pay attention to the correction of your parents. Do not reject their teachings. Are you one of those children that goes against everything your parents say? You need to get a grip on that. Your parents most likely are trying to lead you in the right direction, and especially if they're teaching you the word of God. Verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Basically, you could read it this way, because their instructions will lead, guide, and protect you throughout your life. You know why it says an ordinance about thy, chains around thy neck? It was for protection. The neck is the most vulnerable part of the human body. In the military and other places, even in karate and things, they teach you to get them in the neck because that's weak. So he's telling you it'll protect you. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. In other words, my child. See, it says son there, but remember, it means no gender. My child, if sinful people try to persuade you, refuse to follow. Do that, okay? That's what God's telling you here through Solomon. Chapter 1, verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for their blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Ooh, they're trying to lure you into doing something you shouldn't do. If they say, join our group, for instance, or let's hide to ambush and kill. That's what it means in wait of blood. We will take the innocent just for sport. That's what they're trying to get you to do. Don't follow that kind of people. Have your children listen to these teachings. They need to know. Don't you get involved with people like that. Verse 12, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. In other words, let us devour them completely, put them in their grave. That's what he's telling you. Verse 11 says, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. In other words, we'll discover all kinds of valuable possessions. We'll take what belongs to them. That's basically murdering somebody to steal. And we'll fill our homes with plunder. It's a terrible thing to even think about. Verse 14. Then what is this evil person telling him to do? He said, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. That's verse 14. Modern English, it would be cast in your lot with us. We will all share one purse. You know what that says? That's communism. That's how communism works. That's how socialism works. We should all be equal. No, you shouldn't. If you ain't willing to work as hard as I am, why should you have the same thing I have? Come on, folks. The Bible makes it clear. God don't like communism. He don't like socialism. He likes communists. He likes the people. He loves all people, but he wants them to walk according to his word, not some man-made ideas of what's right. Verse 15, my son, walk not in the way of with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. In other words, my child, don't become involved in their way of life. Children, listen to me. Adults, listen to me. Don't get involved in that way of life. If it's crooked and evil and destructive and they want to steal and kill, don't get involved with that. And the best way to look at refrain thy foot from their paths, the best way to look at that in modern English is don't even look in that direction. Don't get near that. Verse 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. In other words, for they run to wickedness and rush to spill blood. Verse 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. In other words, without cause, they spread a net for their victims. They're laying up and trying to kill their victims or steal from their victims. Verse 18, and they lay wait for their own blood. For whose blood? Their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. What they're doing is they set up an ambush for their own death. They hide in concealment for their own destruction. That's what that means in modern English. You see, when you understand what the Hebrew was really trying to tell us, the Bible becomes very, very clear to you. And that's what we want to do, is we want to be very clear on what God was trying to tell us. Verse 19, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. In other words, such are the ways of all that desire unjust gain. I'm going to take what don't belong to me. I'm going to take what somebody else worked hard for, but I'm going to steal it. What does it do? Which destroy the life of the ones who owned it. In other words, they don't care who they hurt. They don't care who they hurt to get what they want. That's just selfishness, greed. That's horrible. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. In other words, wisdom's out in the open. She can be heard in the streets. You can read her in the Bible. 21, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, and I'm going to go on to the next one, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Now let's look at verse 21, 22 in modern English. She speaks on the public square. All through the city her wisdom can be heard saying, listen to this, how long, you who are naive, remember what simple means? Ye who are naive, will you befriend foolishness? How long are you going to do that? You're going to go till it destroys you? Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. In other words, return to me when I correct you. In other words, don't run from me just because I corrected you. That's what God does. He corrects us. We're supposed to be thankful for that. Pay attention, and I will spew forth my spirit upon you. In other words, he's going to breathe the breath of life into us, the truth, the knowledge, wisdom. I will make sure you understand my words. All right? Now, let's go to verse 24. Because I have called, and you refused, okay? Because I have called, and you refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no one regarded. Now, I want you to think about this, okay? Now, remember, this is wisdom crying out, okay? All right, so, because I've called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, should be written this way in modern English, because I invited and you rejected. I have offered my care and no one paid attention. Look at verse 25, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none my reproof. In other words, because you've ignored all my instructions and would have nothing to do with my correction, what's going to happen to you? Look at verse 26. If you do that, if you reject God's instruction, if you reject God's correction, if you reject God's word, what will wisdom do? I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. In modern English, I'll laugh at your destruction. I'll ridicule you when what you dread happens. You know what that means, what you dread happens? When you're doing something wrong, you know something bad's going to happen to you. It's almost inevitable. It's almost inevitable. Verse 27, when your fear cometh as dissolution, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, in other words, when what you dread comes like destruction, and your disaster shows up like a storm, like a tornado, like a hurricane, when anguish and oppression is upon you, what's going to happen? Verse 28, then shall they call upon me. The ones that's in distress are going to call on wisdom, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. That means, then will they seek me, but I will not answer them. They will hunt for me, but they shall not find me. Why? Because they've hardened their hearts. They've turned against God. They've turned against the truth. 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, but because they shunned knowledge and did not have reverence for the Lord. In other words, verse 30, they would none my counsel. They despised all my reproof. That means they would not accept my advice. They despised all my correction. Verse 31, therefore, what's going to happen? They shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. What does that mean? Well, therefore, they're going to suffer the consequences of their choices and be overwhelmed by their own schemes. That's what it means, folks. Are you going to be overwhelmed when you find out you've been doing wrong, knowing you'd do wrong, but you wouldn't turn from it? It's going to come upon you. There is a turning point where God turns his face off of you, just like you did him. You reject him, trust me, he will reject you. If you love him, trust me with all your heart, he will love you. Okay? 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now, what's the simple? It's the naive. So it says, because the faithlessness of the naive will destroy them. In other words, because they didn't have any faith in God, it'll destroy them. And the satisfaction of the foolish will destroy them. Okay, Proverbs 33 to end this chapter. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. How precious is that? But for those who obey me and will, but for those who obey me will live safe and will be secure from the evil one. Boy, Proverbs is good. Such a great book. Everybody should understand Proverbs. Why? Because it's wisdom. Thank y'all for choosing to listen to today's Health Update. Thank you for letting me go over the Word of God with you. I'm excited that you're excited about the Word of God. And maybe, just maybe, there's some out there that's going, wow, it's starting to make more sense than ever, especially like that part, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. No, the love of God is the beginning of knowledge. You know, I told you that later on in the Bible, Jesus said, you got to hate your mother and your father, your brother, your sister, and all those people to follow me. That's not what that means. Hate was the wrong word there. You got to love them less than you do God and his word. Study the Word of God. Know the Word of God. You'll always be glad you did. Like I say, thank you for listening. Share this with other people. Until next time, may God continue to bless all of us with abundant health.
As I said earlier, thank you for choosing to listen to today's Health Update. If you like what you heard, please consider sharing it with others who need to know the truth. To hear this or any of Roy's shows, go to www.podbean.com. www.podbean.com. And remember, you can learn more by going to our website, www.nhcherbs.com. That's www.nhcherbs.com. Or you can call to get more information at 256-757-0660.